After years in detention, based off evidence that was obtained under torture, it may well be that Syed can now resettle in Australia. Alison Battison is the principal director of the Human Rights for All and played a vital role in having this notice expunged. Miles Holbrook-Walk asked Battison why Syed is being held in detention in what she describes as prison-like conditions.
Can you tell me a little bit about his actual background? So for someone who's never heard of who Syed is or his actual case, can you tell me a little bit about that?
So Syed is an Egyptian national who, whilst he was living overseas in Albania, got married and started a family. Meanwhile, back in Egypt, there was a trial, and it was a mass trial. Well over 100 people tried, often not in their presence, and it's been documented that torture was used to extract confessions and so-called evidence. And the trial's been heavily criticised by organisations such as Amnesty International. And for poor Syed, his father was tortured into giving evidence against him, which obviously his father has later said that this evidence was obtained under torture. And then Syed basically moved around the world with his family and came to Australia to seek asylum as a boat person, and that was approximately 6 years ago. So he remains in closed detention and his family is in community detention.
So basically, Syed fled to Australia on account of being worried about being extradited back to Egypt for charges that were originally related to a murder. Now, we already know evidence brought against him was obtained while torturing witnesses, but these charges became even more bizarre.
The charges on the notice actually changed. So in 2013, the Egyptian government said, terribly sorry, turns out the charges currently listed on the notice are incorrect, and just substituted new charges. So the original charges were around murder, and sorry, actually I said that the terrorist charge came on in 2013. Things that just weren't proven and bore no resemblance to what he'd actually been charged with and convicted of back in Egypt.
So let's touch on that Interpol red notice now.
Sure. The purpose of Interpol is a bit of a international police monitoring body. Once the issuance of an Interpol red notice is an indication that a country wants the particular individual to be extradited back to their country to face criminal charges or prison terms.
Can you unpack a little bit what that actually means when someone's put on a red notice and how this has affected Syed?
So effectively, it's a method of extradition. The issue with this is that Egypt has never actually attempted to extradite Syed. And the way Interpol works is that a country makes the request to an Interpol office. There is a slight vetting process, and then the Interpol red notice is put up online and transmitted around the world.
So considering this, one can't help but wonder, are people like Syed getting due process under the law? Is it quite easy then for governments to put out red notices?
Yes, so it's worryingly easy, particularly for regimes that have questionable human rights records, for red notices to be put up that are actually being used for political purposes. And it happens not infrequently. So that is why this review mechanism has been formalised, because of the abuse of the Interpol system.
Would you say that the issuance of red notices are stacked in favour of the accuser rather than the accused?
Absolutely.
Does that go against the fundamental understanding, at least we have in Australia and in many other parts of the world, where innocence is presumed?
It does. The issue is that, for example, in Syed's case, he had been convicted of various crimes. Now, the trial, as we've discussed, was not fair, and serious human rights abuses occurred during the trial. So there has to be some way of looking behind the conviction by Interpol to see whether the trial was conducted fairly and if the Interpol red notice has been put up for a proper purpose, which is for extradition. It becomes very complex when it's an asylum seeker, because for Syed, the very reason he has sought asylum is because of the trial and the Interpol red notice that came out of the trial.
Let's look at, I suppose, Australia's role in this and what they did as a government.
Australia has an almost blanket policy that if someone is or has an Interpol red notice issued against them, that they are therefore a threat to Australia's security, and ASIO will automatically issue them with an adverse security assessment. Having an adverse security assessment means that you will not qualify for any sort of protection visa.
Does Australia do their own security checks on whether or not this individual might be a threat rather than just going off the Interpol red notice?
They should and they do, but I think questions should be raised after what's happened with SIAD as to how rigorous that process is. Because after scratching the surface of SIAD's case, it's very clear that serious questions should have been raised about the legitimacy of the red notice.
And in terms of Interpol's role as well with this, they've obviously are the ones who issue these red notices in the end. Does Interpol need to be doing a little bit more here to be a bit more scrupulous, do you think?
Absolutely. So it's a great first step to have this review process where individuals can apply to have their Interpol red notices reviewed. But Interpol is decades old, and this has only started occurring this year. And that is extremely concerning. And Interpol risks having its purpose and legitimacy questioned if the process of putting up red notices is not vigorously vetted and applied.
You spoke about how Interpol's a decades-old organisation. Do you think then there are other people who have red notices against them who might not have the means or scope to appeal against them that have probably been given, or rather, that could have been given these notices in dubious circumstances?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's no question about that. A previous case before this formal process was up was about Benny Wender, who's a West Papuan freedom fighter, and he had an Interpol red notice issued against him by Indonesia that was also later taken down. So I think there is a very real risk that there are other people in Benny's situation and in Syed's situation.
In terms of Syed's rights while he's been in detention, I suppose, is it like being in prison? Is that the kind of detention he's been in?
Yes, and increasingly it becomes more prison-like. So he doesn't have freedom of movement. He can only go to communal areas when there's a visitor. He is restricted on his ability to communicate. He's restricted on his ability to have visitors. They're limited to a certain number and at certain times. And there's a general issue here that Australian detention centres are becoming more prison-like. The food has changed. It's become more prison-like. So there's a gradual erosion of the idea that there should be a separation between an administrative detention centre and a prison.
So what does Syed's future look like in Australia? Is it one where he may be able to be resettled here?
Well, we are hoping that is the case. We're very hopeful that now the Interpol red notice has been overturned, that the department will make his application for a protection visa a matter of priority so he can be reunited with his wife and children.